straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 329, brought to you by Hook'em.com. Our good friends at Bud Light, I'm Cedric Golden, and as usual, I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, the madness is upon us, and when March Madness approaches, we've got to go find one of the big dogs. And we found a big dog, and I know she's never been called a dog. I know that. First time for everything. ESPN's Chris Button joins us. She's basketball, she's baseball, she's football, and she's a podcast host as well. Sideline Pass with Molly McGrath on a little hiatus right now, but there's lots of episodes on iHeart and Google and Apple. Chris, what's up?
Coming to you live from Kansas City, where I'm going to have to start paying taxes in this town. Between that and Kansas, the amount of time that I've spent here over the last year. But it's good. I mean, As we start diving into this tournament, trying to wrap your head around the format is different and then what it will look like next year and the women also being in this building. It's been, we're just getting things started. It should be a fun week.
So you just tell your family goodbye, what, February or maybe December or August?
Yeah, pretty much. Football season isn't as bad because I leave Thursday night or Friday morning and I can usually get back Saturday. Basketball is gone Friday, come back Tuesday. Ooh. So that's
a challenge.
Yeah, and also this is spring break week, so I have put my kids in camp all week so that my husband, I'm still married by the time I get back.
Good plan. Yeah. Oh, well, let's talk some hoops. Men's tournament starting up. This is taping on Tuesday and airing on Thursday, so some games will have been played, but who would you say has the most to gain and the most to lose in the Big 12 tournament, Chris?
The most to gain is any team that doesn't currently have a bid right now in the bracketology. So, you know, your teams that are playing on a Tuesday all have something to play for. I don't really think teams have a lot to lose. I think Houston, whether they win this whole thing or not, has secured themselves a one seed. I mean, Kansas isn't even playing McCullough or Dickinson because of injuries. You know, whether let's say they won a first round game when they did play them, like there's not really much to gain from them as well. I think if Baylor won the whole thing, it could help them move up some seed, maybe Iowa State as well. I think it's also just really cool for, like, let's say a BYU makes a run. For the newbies in this league, you know, Houston already celebrated the regular season championship outright. You know, it's funny. I've been on radio the last couple of days, people asking, what does a conference championship mean? And I think it's different for each program, right? Like that was a really big deal last year for Texas, given the coaching changes and for Rodney Terry to be able to celebrate cutting down those nets. That was a huge deal for Houston to win it in the regular season. Listen, if Kansas won this thing, I don't think it's as big of a deal for them. But if a team like a BYU or an Iowa State, just given the proximity of Kansas City to Ames, I think this still means a lot to a lot of schools in this league.
I think K-State has a lot to gain. And, yeah, of course, playing Texas, so they may already be out. I don't know. But taping of this. But I'm not a big fan of the conference tournaments. I'm not. And it's just more basketball, more for people who are already tired. And I know we can say the same thing about conference championships and football. What's the buzz around Kansas City right now for this? Because I know it's an annual thing and it's a basketball area. Is there some good buzz? Because the Big 12, I'm sorry, it is the best basketball going in college right now. So is there a big buzz around in this conference tournament?
Yeah, I always have thought that there's always been a great buzz. Part of it is the setup of being in the Power and Light District, and everything's walkable and the fan fest that they do. It's also a chance for, you know, fans to come see their teams play. If, like, let's say you're a West Virginia fan, but you don't live anywhere near Morgantown. It's a chance to see your teams. And I remember being here during COVID when it got shut down in the middle of the tournament, and the fans that were so upset that had made these huge trips to be able to come here, to be able to see basketball. And, you know, those tickets all went to waste and they weren't able to see. So to me, like, I still love it. It's still a chance to see a lot of basketball and a lot of really good basketball. And there's, like, there's, you know, despite, you know, the teams that already have their bids locked up, like, there's still a lot to play for. Like, I don't know what happens by the time this thing airs, but Mike Boynton's team, like, is he still trying to fight for a job? What does that look like?
Oh, wow.
Depending on how they play on Tuesday. So to me, like, I still really enjoy Champ Week and the way that it, you know, plays out with all the other tournaments going on at the same time. Like, it's cool the way that, like, did someone steal a bid, and, you know, like, certain conferences getting their due at certain times.
You mentioned Kansas. Kansas is such a curious team this year. I mean, 10-7. You know, when would they ever lost close to 7 conference games and
ever
really, really fighting injuries and stuff? I mean, they just want to get out healthy as they can. But do they, you know, we all know they don't have a whole lot of depth. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. Do you see them in trouble? Could they drop a seed, Chris? And could you see them pretty much being in trouble as an early exit possibility in the NCAA?
Kansas, you're talking about?
Yeah, Kansas.
Yeah, you know, it's, I do think when they're all healthy, that it's the best starting five, one of the best starting fives in the country. And this is the hard thing about basketball. It's such a long season. I sat there and saw them in person beat UConn, and I saw them in person beat Houston. And that was as good as anyone that I've ever seen play this season when Kansas dominated Houston early in that game. But then it's just, they were a different team on the road. Hunter Dickinson hasn't looked great at certain times. Like, you can see Bill Self getting frustrated with him. But I also look back at 2021, and that Kansas wasn't the best team in the country for the majority of the regular season. And then they go and they win in the national championship. So I do believe in this team when they are healthy. What I don't know is, how healthy can you get in a week and a half? We saw Hunter Dickinson's shoulder dislocated. I don't know how that feels right now. I know that Kevin McCullough is not going to be fully healthy. Like, this is not something that's going to be solved by the time they hit March Madness. Can you get by 2 games at a time, a little bit of rest, 2 games at a time, and kind of work your way through? We'll see. But I do know that talent-wise, what they have matches up with the best teams in the country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I talked to Scott Drew last week, and he was after the Baylor game. You were there, Chris. I didn't get to talk to you, but I did see you cringe in horror when Dylan Dessou went down right in front of you. You're at the press table, but more on that in a minute. Scott Drew said 11 or 12 Big 12 teams should get in.
Easy.
I mean, why don't we just have 2 Big 12 tournaments? I mean, that's a lot of teams.
Like, why you see Greg Sankey and them, you know, asking for tournament expansion so that these other Power Five teams that get left out. And there's a whole thing about, like, computer tricksters and the way that the computer looks at the teams in the Big 12. But, I mean, night in, night out, every single game is a quad one opportunity. And, you know, you sign up to play this schedule. And that's why Iowa State didn't put together a big non-conference schedule. In terms of the strength of schedule. But if we were to fix things, and this isn't the question that you asked, but if we were to fix things for college basketball, because I am a little concerned for next year, when you start adding the college football playoff is going to go an extra, what, week, 2 weeks into the season? Mm-hmm. For some reason, people don't have the ability to be able to watch football and basketball at the same time.
PIP.
So now you're taking 2 weeks more of the season that you're not able to, that you don't have the average fan watching. And you miss those great games. Like, no one really watched UConn and Kansas. It was on a Friday night up against the ACC championship game, or the Pac-12 championship game, excuse me. So if you took some of those tournaments, we were used to seeing the Big 12 Challenge, SEC Challenge, and that was right in the middle of conference play. So they do away with that. And now it's the Big 12 and the Big East, and there was great matchups, but they were before conference play started. If you move some of those and be able to put those, you know, February 12th, I think it would like, it would bring in a lot more viewers. It would make things more interesting. Gonzaga went to Kentucky in the middle of conference play. Like, it gives you a break from the monotony of what conference play is and adds some extra juice in the middle of the season like we used to have.
Yeah, I'd start the season January 1 or at least maybe December 15 or something. It starts.
Yeah, but then you're up against the Masters. Like, there's a whole calendar to, like, you can't push this thing back anymore because the whole point is this is when the championship is, and then the Masters starts 3 days later on CBS.
But if you keep pushing like it back,
he's speaking like a sports writer, Chris. He wants to be able to cover his football here, yeah, and cover his college basketball here, and then his
basketball gets baseball. Ignored. I hate that. Nobody pays
doesn't. It's just not football. It is not getting ignored.
Well, like you said, Chris, you're talking about expansion, 96 teams possible. I mean,
I don't think it'll be 96. I think it'll be somewhere in the 70s. You can't dilute an already great product. It sounds like it might be announced here soon. Like, there is I think 76 was kind of the idea, or 78 of being played. You can't back it up a whole extra weekend. You already are asking fans on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the first two rounds to dedicate all day to watching college basketball. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Fans are willing to do that. You can't do that for a whole extra weekend. You're diluting the product.
I don't want to get rid of that 16-1 possibility like we've seen twice. And yeah. You know, 32 teams got a bye, 96 versus 33 upset just doesn't have that same ring to it. So
this is also my argument, and I get annoyed with the people that are like, well, football has all these bowl games and, you know, a 6-6 team can make a bowl game. That's great. A bowl game is a reward at the end of the season to go to the Bahamas or Hawaii or wherever. It's not a path to a national championship. Literally every single team in college basketball in Division I has a path to a national championship because
this
of
win.
The automatic bids. Yes.
It's a tournament.
Yeah.
I love
it. I want to talk about Houston a little bit. I mean, there are a lot of people that say, well, Houston just doesn't have the offense. Can they win six games? Yeah, they play great defense. You know, Cedric and I are both in the Cougars camp. We love them. I think KenPom says their offensive efficiency rating is 11, and they're number one in defense. Do you think the Cougars can win at all?
I do. I think that they're an incredibly tough team to prepare for, particularly in a tournament on short notice. You have to be incredibly athletic, a great passing team to be able to beat them. Are they the most fun watch? No. Like, I was there for Houston, Iowa State, and it was basically like a football game being played on a basketball court. But they do have the scoring. You know, Jamal Shedd and LJ Cryer and Juwan Roberts. My concern is what happens if you get into foul trouble. And we've seen that at times. That we saw it against Oklahoma. Cryer's on the bench. I believe Sharp was out, or maybe it was Francis was out with five. And there's a lot of things that don't get called in regular Big 12 play because of how physical this league is. What happens if you go with different refs in the NCAA tournament and they start calling things a lot tighter? That's more of my concern for Houston.
Yeah, I've heard you mention that on your show before. I think it's dead on correct. You know, they are vulnerable to refs, and because it is a physical style. I don't know how many, you know, leagues play as physical style as this is. And so,
speaking of vulnerable,
okay,
Texas Longhorns, they're good. They're good when they're good. When they're good, they're as good as anybody. Kirk and I have both written about this. They need that third guy. Is Tyrese Hunter good enough to step it up when the lights are the brightest? Because you've seen a lot of Big 12 games, and you've seen teams take away Max Asemus. Dylan DeSue is going to get his. But is Tyrese Hunter good enough to get these Horns back to where they were last year when Marcus Carr was was leading this charge with a balanced attack?
Top to bottom, this isn't as talented as last year's team. The Timmy Allens, you know, they had a full roster. I think Tyrese has the talent to do it. But everything that we had seen out of that freshman year at Iowa State, we haven't seen in Austin for whatever reason. I know he has dealt with, you know, some issues health-wise that he dealt with last year. We saw that creep up in the Houston game where, like, his body would lock up. He's done some work to try and figure out what has caused that. I think the talent's there. Just for whatever reason, it hasn't translated into this.
Yeah, they've won. They're kind of hitting their stride a little bit. They won three of the last four. They, you know, won at Lubbock. They won, you know, some big games, but they haven't been consistent. You're right. And there's been a lot of pressure on Rodney Terry. I don't know how you would assess his first full year as a coach, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. You lost some recruits that you were hoping to get as well. I mean, Tim, and this is the hard thing for me is, like, we put so much stock into 1 year of this season, and, like, they still will probably hopefully make the tournament, and you get in and who knows what happens, which is another beef that I have. Like, we put too much of hiring and firing people based on tournament runs. This whole thing is not the best way to determine the best team in the country. It's a great television watch, but it should not be why we hire and fire coaches. I would say, like, you know, like, give him some time. You're playing in the best league in the country. You lost a lot of talent last year. You had some recruits that did not end up coming this way. Like, let's see where this thing plays out. I still think he's a hell of a coach.
Last one from me, and can't let you out of here without talking a little bit of football. Steve Sarkisian just turned 50, just got a big bag, selling his house for $6 million, moving into Kirk Bowles' neighborhood, a much bigger house. did they overpay for Sark? Is he worth $10.3 million a year? Or wait, not 10. Well, is it 10.3, Doug? That's right, isn't it? 10.3 a year.
I do. We talked about this the other day on the radio. Give me a coach that hasn't won a national championship that you think is going to be, you know, like, now that Nick's gone and you're not allowed to say Kirby, like, who's the next guy? I put Sark in top two. Nice. Mike Norvell would be right there with him. I think absolutely. You took this team in 3 years to the playoffs. Who else could you tell me that would deserve that kind of money? And the money's all relative, right? Like, everyone else is paying astronomical, and the money just keeps going up. Texas has money. So if you have the money, you want to keep your guy. Like, he could have gone to Alabama, probably. Like, if I'm Alabama, that probably was my first call.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So you got to pay the guy that stays.
And so, and they're kind of listed already, Chris, as co-favorites with Georgia. So are you going to pick the Longhorns to win it all next year? Are you going to whet the appetite?
Let me get through spring football. Someone said to me the other day, we're on radio, and someone was asking a spring football question. And, like, I'm such in this silo of basketball right now, and then comes softball and baseball. And I was like, oh, it's March. Oh, spring football has started.
It is right here upon us. Hey, before I let you go, do you have a Final Four pick or an early winner? Are you allowed to look that far ahead?
You know what the hard thing is like, you've seen this team's at their best and you've seen them at their worst. And so I'm the worst person to be asking about, like, how far a team could go. I really do think this is the year for Matt Painter. I think there's a lot of really great storylines of coaches that haven't won national championships. Kelvin Sampson being one of them. Is this the year that he gets it done? Is this the year that Matt Painter gets it done? I do think this Purdue team with Zach Edey, better guard play than they had last year. I think this is the team that can get it done.
Don't leave out Rick Barnes, our guy.
Rick Barnes too, yeah. I know, and I'm married to a Tennessee Vol, so if you knew that I left that out. Listen,
you didn't.
We've been saying year after year, great defense. When can we get a scorer on that team? And Dalton Connect scores down 30 all the time.
He breaks my heart every year. I'm staying away from Hickory this year. I'm staying.
And you got to have the love, Dalton Connect, dude. He's a Caden Clark of men's basketball.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So. Man, it's been great.
We so appreciate it. Thank you for this. We know you're busy. We know you're busy. But thanks for stopping in and gracing us with your presence. Are you going to be doing any spring football or pro timing days?
Don't think so. I have some Longhorn tennis that I'm going to be coming down there to do, some play-by-play for Longhorn Network for tennis.
You're nice.
And by the way, keep an eye on Peyton Stearns, who played. She was played number one for Texas for women's tennis. She just played Sabalenka. She ended up losing to her in Indian Wells. But she's going to be a superstar on the WTA Tour eventually.
Kirk saw her last week.
She was at the ATX Open and didn't quite do it. She's had some terrible draws, but she's a rising star.
Yeah, a heck of a forehand. Like, she's fun to watch.
Whew, she'll crush it. So, well, enjoy the barbecue up there in KC, all right?
Thanks, buddy.
Love you. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
The Chris Budden dropping knowledge. Busy woman, but she always finds time to hang out with the fellas. We appreciate her for that.
Yes, we do. And we forgot to wish her a happy birthday. It was 40th birthday a few days ago on March 9th.
Never tell a lady's age, Duck. Never tell a lady's age because she looks...
She looks 25. She looks 25.
There you go. Fix it. Fix it, editor. Fix it. We're on a shoestring budget. It's in the ethos now. It's just going to be out there. Sorry, Chris. We love you. Sorry about that. Yeah. Duck, spring football's starting up, and that is your favorite time of the year.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Everybody else's, because there's football season, and then there's spring football season, and then everything else. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Starting next Tuesday, March 19th, Sark and the boys be back out on Dinius Fields, and we'll be there to watch it. So my question to you, all right, I'll say pick one player. One player, man, you can't wait to see him live and in person.
Arch Manning.
You've seen Arch Manning.
I want to see Arch Manning a year removed from being a high school Arch Manning. I want to see if he's been in the weight room. I want to see the gun, Duck. I want to see the gun. I want to see the reason he's opting out of EA Sports stuff. I want to see it all from Arch Manning. That's the guy I want to see.
I'm going to rephrase the question. Give me one newcomer, freshman, transfer, JUCO, anybody that you think, man, I want to see if he's got the goods. Who you got?
My cousin, Matthew Golden, my cousin. I want to see if my cousin, no relation, same last name. I want to see if Matthew Golden is going to come in with all of those receivers gone. Jordan Whittington's gone. Xavier Worthy's gone. A.D. Mitchell's gone. Jatavion Sanders, who's a receiver disguised as a tight end. He's gone. They're gone, Duck.
Hey, let me remind you. 217 catches, 3,046 yards, 19 touchdowns. Sark's got to replace all those. And your cousin may be near the top of the list, right?
He's got to be. Nye Black's got to be up there. Who's the hero of the Auburn game? I'm forgetting his name. The other receiver that came over.
Oh, Isaiah Bond.
Yeah, Isaiah Bond.
31.
So we got to – there's lots. That's going to be a receiving group is the unit to watch. If we're talking about one unit, it's got to be the receivers. They got to step up, and they're stepping out of the frying pan into the SEC fire. And and Quinn has got to figure out how to get on the same page with these guys. A newly bulked up Quinn Ewers, I might add.
But before we get to that, Silas Bolden is not here, the Oregon State transfer, the little guy who may be the next Jordan Whittington slot. But they got Jonte Cook back. You know, what do you have? One catch last year. DeAndre Moore didn't have a catch. Yep. Ryan Niblett. And then you got Ryan Wingo, the five-star guy coming in, Parker Livingston. They got a lot of talent, but do they have rapport? Can they do it right away with the bigger but still mobile Quinn Ewers? You wrote about him this week, 10 more pounds. So what does that make him up, like 205, something like that?
205.
Now?
But what Sark's got to do, Doug, he's got to get that goulash together. You know, it's a lot of moving pieces. And, you know, sometimes when you're making goulash, it all seems like there's too much of it. But then if you do it right and you cook it low and slow, it tastes great. And Sark, I got to give him credit, Doug. Sark has been able to make that goulash work over the last couple of years. And I like where he is culturally speaking with this program. They've put some wins on the board. They've They checked that CFP box. He got his bag. He turned 50. He's got a beautiful wife. He's living down the street from you. I think this is the time that Sark could just blow up and be in full bloom. I like what Chris Button said. How many guys can you name with an upside as big as Sark? He's got a huge upside as a coach.
Which he did leave out Ryan Day. Everybody's forgotten about him. He just can't beat Michigan. But
can't beat Michigan.
Jim Harbaugh.
He's become John Cooper.
He could coach for me any day. I mean.
Oh, any day. Nice. Nice turn of a phrase, though.
He's like, 56-6 is record, something like that. But, and I don't know about your food analogy. You and I we appreciate our food, whether it's Lotus or El Rancho, get the Bob Armstrong, which we need to do pretty soon.
Yeah, we got to go this week, fam. We need to.
But they're you know, goulash, they're more filet mignon. Man, you're talking steak and lobster here. They're co-favorites with Georgia and the SEC.
When you make a good steak, Duck, you don't have to. All you have to do is season it right and don't cook it too long. That's easy. Steak is – I can cook a steak. Y'all hear that on the audio? That's me pounding my chest. I can cook a steak.
But why do you mention goulash? That's not goulash.
Goulash or grown man stew that my dad taught me to make. Lots of moving pieces, Duck. And if you do it wrong, it don't taste good. So it takes a little bit of ingenuity and a little bit of artistry to make goulash and stew taste good.
Okay, back to the ingredients. Is Quinn going to be twice as good as he was last
year?
He made strides.
No.
You wrote about he had 5 rushing touchdowns. Are you going to get 10 this year?
You said twice as good. He's going to throw 42 touchdowns or 44 touchdowns because he had 22.
He might have.
If he was twice as good, he'd have 42 touchdowns and half the picks, which would be three picks.
Slow down.
And then you're getting fitted for a tux because we're going to New York, big guy. I don't think he's going to be great like that. We agree that his receiving corps is not going to be as good this year. They'll be fine, though.
They might be. We don't know.
We're talking about NFL guys. We're talking about 4.21 X Worthy.
Right.
We're talking about A.D. Mitchell, 86 catches and one drop. We're talking about Jordan Whittington, the blood and guts warrior.
Hey,
we're talking about the second best tight end in the country in Jatavion Sanders, Doug.
Absolutely. I wrote in my 9 things this week. The Athletics got a new mock draft, and they got Kansas City taking A.D. Mitchell.
That's where he's going, Doug. I called the Athletic, and I told them, put A.D. Mitchell.
We're both there.
It's happening.
They had JT Sanders as their second pick, number 64. So they may be going all in on the Bevos.
Maybe Kelsey is – he and Tay-Tay about to ride off into the sunset after that three-peat next year.
Hey, he's not getting any younger.
He's going to be 35 next year. He's not young.
Oh, okay. I asked you your top – who were you looking for? You're looking for Matthew Golden. I want to see Colin Simmons. I want to see the defensive end at a Duncanville 5-star wreak some havoc, you know, budding Lawrence Taylor, put him and A. Hill out there together, wreak some havoc. Besides those receivers you mentioned, I'm as interested in Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, the UTSA defensive end who had 14 sacks, 22 in his career. I'm really looking forward to seeing those two guys and see if they can jack up this pass.
They are forever looking for an edge rusher. It was 2013, Duck. It's the last time they had a double-digit sack man.
Ridiculous.
Jackson Jeffcoat. Good guy. That's been a minute. That has been a minute. They've got to figure that out, especially over in that league that they're about to join. And I watched Colin Simmons a couple of times, Duck. He's a grown man. He is a grown man on the edge. Will he equate to a grown man immediately? I don't know. That's a jump. People talk about, you know, it's not that big. No, 6A football to Big 12 football to SEC football or whatever it's going to be, that's a huge jump. There's a huge jump. It's not like JV to varsity. It's not that small a jump. It's a big jump to go from high school to college.
Well, A. Hill was very productive.
He was. And they moved him around.
And so both of these guys, you know, they can really supplement. You know, Ethan Burke, you know,
had his
had
moments.
Moments. He had moments. Wasn't a complete breakout year like, say, Jonathan Brooks did, somebody like that. But you get him and Baron Sorrell, they neither one top 5.5 sacks. So, you know, hopefully, especially with the loss of Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy the second, they need some help on those edge. And because we're still waiting for Vernon Broughton, Alfred Collins, you know, to bring it consistently. And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on those two at defensive tackle, don't you think?
Doug, real quick before we go to baseball, pro timing day is coming up Thursday as well. I'm interested to see if what Jalen Ford does. He didn't run in Indy. And the question about Jalen has nothing to do with football acumen or IQ or instincts, because he's as instinctual and as smart a football player that they've produced here. Is he fast enough? That's the question. Can he run a 4.7? If he runs a 4.7, Doug, 4.6, 4.7, I think he's going to be fine. But he can't run a 4.8 or 4.9. That might sink him.
Well, he's not going to run a 4.6. I don't think there's any way.
I don't think so either, but you never know. It's a fast track. I think 4.7, if he can run a 4.75, I think he's fine. But that's the question. Is he going to be fast enough?
No, he's a guy we root for, Big 12 player of the year on defense. I mean, he's had a great career here at Texas, so he's a guy you root for. You touched on baseball. I don't want to say they were giving up for dead, but they'd lost four straight games and they were limping in the
Lubbock.
It's
early. It's early.
Limping in the Lubbock. And so, and you know, they took care of business, win 2 out of 3.
Porter Brown's back.
They're starting a 10-game homestand, but that starting pitching, Sid. LBJ, he doesn't even go
pitch
five
count. Innings. Pitch count, fam. He's nibbling too much, Duck. I think LBJ's nibbling too much. And we love us some LeBaron Johnson. We love us some LeBaron Johnson.
He's got all the
tools. He's big, he's strong, he throws hard. But every time you look up, it was like 3-1, 2-2. He very rarely just mows down guys. And you wonder if that's gonna be a problem as these months pass, when you're throwing 80, 90 pitches, but only going 5 innings. That's a lot.
Now they got a 10-game homestand they're in the middle of, and they got Washington.
They got UW this weekend.
Yep. So it's time for them to get their pitching straight, and so they can get into conference play in earnest. So, but, you know, kudos to them winning 2 out of 3, Max Ballou, you know, bringing.
Boy, he was huge this weekend.
And yeah, I love him. He's a physical player, kind of like Dylan Campbell, you know. But you're right. They got to get some pitching. Otherwise, they're not going to be in the mix as serious Omaha contenders without it.
All right. Huge. Spurs coming in. Spurs, yeah. Nuggets. Friday, Duck?
Friday and Sunday.
Friday and Sunday. Spurs Election play the Nuggets, Sunday. And then they play the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. We'll get a chance to see Wemby. You're not going. You're going to baseball, aren't you?
Well, Saturday. I'm going to baseball
Saturday.
You're
doing baseball Saturday, so we'll both be at Spurs on Friday. We'll get to see Wemby and his supporting cast. And, you know, you'll never get me to not believe that the Spurs would love to play here more, like maybe 41 games more, maybe. Doug, they're never moving here, but Austin makes a lot of sense. Austin could house an NBA team. I believe that.
No reason not to. I mean, you know, you got basically 2.5 million people in the greater Austin area.
11th largest city in the country.
And you still hear MLB expansion rumors for Austin, New Braunfels, San Antonio, the I-35 corridor. Those make sense. There's so many teams in Texas, pro teams already, but Austin's just growing like nobody's business. So
is Austin the biggest city without a pro team? Because, you know.
I think so. I mean, I don't know what would be second. I mean, I don't know. Columbus, Ohio? I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's right there, and it's plumb to be picked, you know. And I think it'll happen eventually. Probably, You know, Jerry Jones would have to die before he lets another NFL team come in here. And
can't live forever.
You've already got three NBA teams. So, you know, maybe baseball, maybe expands and we see a baseball team in Round Rock with the expansion.
That would hurt.
I know you love
Sports
that.
Writers
you
like
love
to take
that.
Off in the summer. That would hurt us.
Who knows? Who knows? But we got plenty to cover and we're going to be there for you and appreciate you guys all tuning in.
Wait a minute. Quit trying to end the podcast. We're not done yet. Stop it.
What do you got left? What do you got left?
What about the Dallas Cowboys? You just mentioned Jerry Jones and they were asleep at the wheel this week. Listen to the running backs. We know the Cowboys need a running back. Tony Pollard mm-hmm. just left. Joe Mixon to the Texans. Josh Jacobs to Green Bay. Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. What are you doing? Are you gonna start Deuce Vaughn? Is that where we are? What are the Cowboys doing, Duck? They could have had Aaron Jones to the Vikings. They could have had Aaron Jones for $7 million. What's wrong
what
with
Barkley?
Jones?
What about Barkley?
What about Saquon?
Yeah, instead he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles in their division. You know, that's going to make the Eagles just nasty as hell. So who knows what he's doing? I don't know. Maybe he's going to get Jonathan Brooks, and he's holding out for him to be their alpha dog.
That is just – Jonathan Brooks just blew his knee out.
Free agents left? Are there any free agents left? Running back?
Running backs? No, they're gone, Duck.
Oh.
I just mentioned them. I just mentioned the guys.
Well, Devin Singletary got a job with who, the Patriots or somebody. So
yes.
Everybody gets scooped up.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for Dallas Cowboy fans. And my phone's been blowing up all day. People are not happy with what Jerry and Steven did not do.
It's a baseball town. That's a Rangers town.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. But – It's crappy to say the least. But anyway, we wanted to get that in, Duck. I know you don't care about the NFL anymore. I know because the Statesman's not sending us to the NFL. Or the Statesman sending us anywhere anymore, Duck? Are we?
Fish Fox.
Gotta get it cleared. Gotta get it cleared.
Paid.
Are you sure we can go to Dish Vault Field?
And we can
get permission.
We can check.
We can go to Dish Vault. We can go to Dish Vault. Duck, you'll be at Dish Vault. I'll be at Moody, and we'll be back here on the On Second Thought podcast. That's going to do it for episode 329 of On Second Thought. Big ups to Chris Budden for joining us. Happy birthday, Chris. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We will see you guys next week. He's Kirk Bowles, and you're not. Thanks again, guys.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.